Let my mouth be filled with praise.
And glory all day long.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have assured the human family of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
A reading from 1 Kings. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. His illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She then said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him up into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself out upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 30 responsively. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave. Sing praise to the Lord, all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance. God's wrath is short, God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning. While I felt secure, I said, "I shall never be disturbed." You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear. I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying, "What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen." A reading from Galatians. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me, so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me, but I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it. The one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Soon afterwards, Jesus went into a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. And as he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. And with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all the surrounding country. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a collision in the gospel today. Not a collision that slows down the traffic on the freeway. Not a collision that involves calling a tow truck and crumpled cars, but a collision just the same. In today's gospel, we hear of a head-on collision between a funeral procession on its way out of the city and a procession of disciples on the way into the city. Death and the funeral procession colliding with Jesus, the giver of life, and a procession of life coming into the city. Like one of those big bulldozers that flattens everything in its path, that needs to yield to no one, death bulldozes its way through the world. That image might work for us. Death pushing its way, roaring its way through one nation after another, through one village after another, through one family after another. In today's gospel story, death has roared its way through the town of Nain. Now, according to first century burial customs, the young man who died probably had just died that very day. The dead were almost always buried on the same day that they died. And the funeral procession was a very important part of the burial process because this is the way that the word got out that someone had died. People would see this procession and they would know that a death had occurred. Now, unlike our decorum today, in the first century, the louder the wailing and the weeping with this funeral procession, the better, because that would call people to look out their doors, to walk out onto the street, to see who had died, and to join the funeral procession, to join that procession that had formed earlier, maybe even just a small family. But by the time the procession reached the burial place right outside the city gate, there would be a large crowd of people, like a bulldozer that's moving the earth, gathering more and more people as it goes along. The funeral procession, starting small, would gather momentum, gather crowd, gather noise as it made its way out of town. This widowed woman, who is left entirely alone by the death of her only son, is now surrounded by family, by friends and neighbors. By the time they reach the city gate, she is amidst a large crowd of people. But now Luke is not telling us this story just so we can know about the burial practices in the first century. He wants us to see our own situation in this story, because the power of death is still roaring along, gathering more and more people as it bulldozes its way through the world. And not one single one of us will avoid that collision. It's just a matter of time before it reaches us. For some, like our dear Helen, who died at the age of 104, it came slowly and quietly and peacefully. For others, like victims of a terrorist bomb or a tragic accident or a disease that has no cure, it comes unexpectedly and unwelcomed. But death does come. Today, Luke gives us this great image of the power of death processing towards the city gate. But Jesus, the giver of life, is coming at the other side of the city gate. Two processions about to collide, a head-on collision, the forces of life and the forces of death. And they meet there at the city gate. The city gate is a good image because that is where all the combat would take place. The enemies trying to take over the city would be met at the gate by the village people trying to, not the gate, I just said that, and not the band, but the village people trying to keep the enemy away. And no matter who is winning this battle, we know that there will be a victor and there will be a defeated enemy. But in this battle, it's not the ordinary weapons of war that are used. Jesus uses only the powerful word of compassion, a word spoken and a word lived. Luke tells us Jesus had compassion on the widow. I think he probably felt a pang in his heart for his own mother, thinking a widow who has a son who not too far in the future, whose lifeless body would be laid in her arms. I think that Jesus' compassion may have been stirred by his love for his mother. And he speaks that word of compassion to this widow. Do not weep, he says to her. And those words of compassion now become an act of compassion as he ignores the society rules and the rules of the religion rules about purity and burial. And he reaches out and he touches the stretcher that the dead body is on. This shocked everybody. Luke says, fear overtook them all. And the pallbearers stopped dead in their tracks, unsure of what's going to happen. This has never happened before. And Jesus reaches out and says to that young man, I say to you, rise. The dead man sat up and began to speak. What he said was obviously not very important because Luke doesn't tell us what he said. But the next thing that Luke says is very important. Jesus gave him back to his mother. That's the real act of compassion. Because you see, a woman without someone to care for her in that century, in that culture, was extremely vulnerable. A woman needed to be attached to a man to care for her. First her father, then her husband, then her sons. Without someone to care for her, she would be left destitute. Nowhere to live, nowhere to be to gain support. This widow was being crushed by the power of death, not only losing her son, but also losing the only possibility that she had for support for life. But Jesus, the giver of life, defeated death, had compassion on her. She was doomed. And now she has hope once again. Now she's been saved. One of my friends told me last Wednesday that her son had just been discharged from the Marines. And honorable discharge, I guess you call it, because he has emotional problems. I said, what is that about? He had gone through boot camp and loved it and was doing great. And she said, well, it has to do, what they told him once he got an assignment, is that he has too much compassion. What happened, he was great in marksmanship when he was in boot camp, doing a really good job. When he got into combat, he picked up his weapon and froze, and then started to shake. And this happened every time he picked up his weapon. I guess that compassion is not one of the virtues that you would teach our fighting men and women. It makes you too vulnerable on the battlefield. It makes you too vulnerable to care. But compassion was Jesus' only weapon when he was on that battlefield facing the power of death. But it wasn't only words of compassion, it was also a life of compassion. Jesus was vulnerable, even to the point of his own death. The cross bulldozed him. And even then, death was not the victor. God's powerful word of life, God's powerful word of compassion was spoken in Jesus' resurrection. And now, here we are, the body of Christ in the world today, and we are left to speak that powerful word of compassion and life to all who are being crushed by the power of death. We get a choice. Which procession will we be in? The funeral procession where death is the victor? or Jesus procession, meeting death head on with compassion and love. Every night we hear the evening news with how many of our military men and women have been killed, how many innocent bystanders have lost their lives. We hear tragedies and illnesses that take not only the strangers that we hear about on the news, but also our neighbors and our friends. And we watch even for death to come to our own doorstep, in our own homes. Death is all around us, and we can't escape that bulldozer. But Jesus gives us one clear word to guide us and to empower us, a word of compassion for the vulnerable. So what are we supposed to do in the face of death? Where do we get the faith to have compassion for those many victims of war and hunger and disease? Where are we supposed to get the strength to meet the power of death, even as it's bearing down on us? We get it from Jesus Christ, knowing that he has already won this battle for us and stands with us in love and compassion. We have faith. We who are the baptized children of God are in that procession that leads to eternal life. Thanks be to God for the grace of compassion. Thanks be to God for the hope in that promise. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who is the victor over death and the giver of eternal life. Thanks be to God that even in the face of death, we can say, thanks be to God.